unless we talked about independence, with it being Independence Day, making that declaration of independence. And he just made a declaration. I heard all of you make it. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. First thing is, you got to find your joy. Then once you have it, you got to keep it. And it's totally up to you whether you keep your joy or not. And I can't do it for you, but you can. And I know there's sometimes there's these little things that come along that try to steal your joy, and you go, okay, which way do I go? This way or that way? And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. God wants us to be joyous. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to sing praises, not sing down and depressing stuff. There's enough of that in the world. God doesn't want that to happen to us. And that's one of the reasons that he died on the cross. Is that he wants us to be saved from sin. He doesn't want anything to steal our joy. Because in the Old Testament, the Israelites kept letting things steal their joy. And Jesus came and said, you know what? It's not that hard, guys. Let me tell you how it's done. And it's done through a four-letter word. I know, I don't know about you, when I grow up, I used to get my mouth washed out for four-letter words, but Jesus said a four-letter word. It was love.
We get soap
around
my office.
Yeah. It was that four-letter word of love. And he said, that's how easy it is. Just to love one another. That's our joy. It's not in other people loving us. It's us loving other people. Because nobody will ever love the way we do, and it's really hard to believe that we could love as much as Jesus did. But that night, even though he knew he was going to be crucified, he didn't whine. He didn't cry about it. He didn't go, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. He said, nothing's going to steal my joy, because I know where I'm going, and I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that night, the disciples were kind of sitting around chilling, and they had already eaten dinner. And he took the bread, and when he broke it, he held it to heaven. And he blessed it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He wanted us to remember who he was and what he did. And I don't know about whether you know this or not, but the best-selling book in the world is this book right here. It's been a bestseller for years and years and years. That can only be done because of what Jesus did for us. And in that same night, he took the wine, and in the same manner, he blessed it and offered it to his disciples. He didn't say, you have to drink it. He offered it to them. Just like what he does, he offers salvation to each one of us. It's up to us to reach out and take it. All he can do is lay it at our feet. And he said, take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood that I am going to shed for you, for each and every one of us, for the many of us, for all of us. It helps us keep the doors open, keep the lights on, and sometimes even provide food in the back. So thank you for all that you do. We could not do it without your offering. We couldn't do it without without you all being here. This is a church because of you. It's not a church because of me. And if anyone online would like to make a donation, anyone here would like to make a donation through Venmo, you can do it that way also. Oh, patience. I don't know about you, sometimes I have a hard time with patience. It's like, Lord, I want patience right now. But what Joyce Meyer said is patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while you're waiting. Because sometimes it is so hard to wait. And I know with me sometimes I've got to push, I want to push things down the road. And I want to make them happen. Reach out to Collect Challenge. Workday, birthday, arranging that. And it was like last night, Ruth and I were talking. I'm going, holy moly, I realize the light is almost half over. Because one of the things that Jesus said in Romans 12:13, actually Paul wrote it, but it was written because of what Jesus had told him to share with the Lord's people who are in need. Always practice hospitality. Okay. Today, what I want to talk to you about is what are those voices that I hear? Those things that are going on in your head all the time. Those things that try to guide us. They confuse us. Those things that cause us anxiety. I'm not saying everyone has them.
My wife, Alan.
Yes.
Why?
And I know. And you ought to have those in your head all the time. Especially if she's your wife, she shouldn't have to yell, right?
Yeah.
I love it, all the wives smile and laugh. And all the guys are kind of going, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. That's that little voice that said you should wash your dishes out. Why didn't you pick up your socks? Those little voices. I was listening to a pastor one time, and he said that what happens is when he comes in from outside, he goes through a mud room. And, you know, he's sweating and he's dirty and he goes into the kitchen and his wife is like, oh my gosh, you need to wipe your sweat off, clean up a little bit before you come into the kitchen. And he said, you know, that's not what I do. I'll come in, I don't care if I'm sweating on the counter, it doesn't matter to me. And he goes, so I know that I'm going to get in trouble. He said, but sometimes I think about just walking in when I know she's not around. But he said, I don't do it. He said, it's not because I know I can get away with it. He said, it's because I respect her. Ooh. Oh, man, this is going to be a fun one, I can tell. You know, I'm not saying that everybody has these voices. Those who are married should have them, and they should be screaming in your ear. Sometimes it keeps us guys straight. But all I'm saying is sometimes there are these voices in our head telling us things that aren't right. Those things that tell us you're not good enough. You're not beautiful. You're an ugly person. You can't do that. And if you do decide to do that, they're all going to laugh at you about it. Or you even have people telling you that. Or you're going, you know what, I'm not even going to talk to you about it because this is ludicrous. That's some of those voices that we hear in our head, telling us the things that keep us from excelling, that keep us right where we are, keep us from being what God wants us to be. They cause us to stop something great that's about to happen, and that's why those voices are going on in our heads, and that's why when we hear them, they start screaming, because they don't want us to hear that still small voice that's God's voice. And if they can scream loud enough, you won't hear God's voice, and you won't hear the direction that God has for you. which is the best way to go, of course. It's easy to hear those voices, and sometimes even easier to follow them. Why not? They're the loudest voices we have in our head. They're the most convincing voices you have heard all day long, especially when something has happened in your life that may not be exactly what you want to happen, or it happened in a different way than it was supposed to. Besides, those voices are always there. Sometimes you may not hear them. They're trying to convince you of how bad things are, or how troubled you should be over something, or even more so, you should take some kind of action that you know is wrong. And there's a right and a wrong to everything that you're doing, but these voices go, oh, you need to take this path. Why would you stay on God's path? Look at what I have to offer if you go down this road. Whether you want to admit it or not, this happens to all of us, and it doesn't matter your age. It happened to me when I was in high school. It happened to me when I was in the military. It happened to me when I was married. It doesn't matter any time, any place. These voices can pop up. And sometimes it's just like you really don't know what's going on. They just pop up out of nowhere. And what I mean is, it can happen to anyone as it happened to Jesus. This is the big guy. This is the guy that has all this protection, but Satan was still there. And depending on which version you read in the Bible, he was called the tempter. Because what happens is he wants to tempt you. He wants to tempt you with things to see if you'll go something different than what you're supposed to be doing. Jesus had those voices. Or should I say, Jesus had a face-to-face. An actual face-to-face of telling him what he was supposed to do. What had happened is, immediately after Jesus was baptized, the Spirit picked him up and took him out into the wilderness. And now Jesus is out in the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days. Remember what I said last week, the enemy doesn't come after your strongholds. He looks for your weaknesses. Well, what happened was, Jesus is now hungry. Jesus is now thirsty. He's probably tired. He's been in the desert for 40 days. This is incredible. I have no idea what it's like. But then the tempter, the devil, came to him, and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And then after that, he said, this is the second thing he tempted him. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Well, what had happened was, the devil took Jesus to the holy city. He took him to the very top. He took him to the very top of the temple. And they're both just kind of standing there. Kind of sound like those voices in your head. He says, go ahead, Jonah. Go ahead, do it. God will take care of you, right? And that's what he told him. Go ahead, jump. Because what he quoted is, he quoted Psalms 91:1, where he said, God said he'll give you his angels. They'll take charge over you. They'll make sure you're okay. God promised you that, right? And he said, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So the devil's saying, it's all right. Go ahead and turn the stones into bread. I don't know if you pick up on this, but what it is Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And what the devil's trying to get him to do is to be served. Jesus knows he can turn stones into bread. Why does he have to prove it? Because I want to say this little voice, but actually it was a face-to-face kind of thing that was going on. But right now, Jesus, you can't see him. You can hear him. The devil, you can't see him, but you can hear him. Both of them are things that come to us. One is a still small voice, and one of them is an in-your-face kind of thing. So then the devil came to him a third time, and he told him, he took him up to a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him everything. And he said, all these things I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. If you have a false god, if you believe, if you trust in one God more, if you trust me more than you trust your God, bow down. Almost sounds like drugs, doesn't it? You know what? Take these drugs. You'll feel good. You'll have everything. Man, you'll be on top of the world. It's a temptation. Yeah, maybe once or twice you feel good. But then you become addicted to it. These are the kind of things that Satan does. And the threat with each one of these things and the things that you hear in your head, depending on where it comes from, is that it all starts out with truth. There is truth in the start of every one of these. You are the Son of God. He told him that twice. That is truth. Yes, you're the Son of God. Well, then there's the if-then statement. If you're the Son of God, then why don't you do this? And he said, all these things I'll give to you. But what he told Jesus right before he said, all these things I'll give to you, is he goes, it's all been given to me. Look, I have it all, and I will give it to you. And that's when you have to remember that this is the prince of lies. He will lie to you. He will deceive you. He will cheat you. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So what he's telling Jesus is, you know what? I've got all these kingdoms and I'll give it to you. All you've got to do is bow down and worship me. Anything that tells you that, you need to be really careful of. Look, if you take this action, everything will be okay. You know what? I know you've got bills to pay. And I know you've got a car payment. Why don't you go rob this grocery store? You'll have money. It'll be okay. Everything will be taken care of. And I know some people are shaking their heads, but there's other people that really think about it. I lost a soul one time to somebody who was tempted by this. He came out of prison God-fearing. This is the kind of guy, and I've told you about it before, this is the kind of guy who, in the middle of the day, in the evening, would kick down a door and come in with a gun and take everything in your house. That's how blazing he was. He came out of jail and all he wanted to do was God's work. He started a lawn care business. And he talked to me about it and he goes, Mike, he goes, you know, the brothers in the hood, they want me to go back to selling drugs. They want me to go back to kicking in doors. The last time that I talked to him, he said he stopped to get gas. And one of his friends from the hood cut him off in front of him so he couldn't leave from getting gas. And he said, Mike, he said, they cut me off and they came and he said, hey, bro, what's going on? How's it going? What are you doing nowadays? And he said, I'm doing a lawn care business. Well, how much money do you make? Well, I make this much a week on my lawn care business. And he said, you know what? We could make that in one night. You don't have to work every day. We could make it. That was the temptation. All these things I will give you. All you have to do is bow down to them. That was the last time I talked to him. The threat is each one of these tell us there's an element of truth. That's what the evil one does. He knows that. He knows our buttons. He knows what we believe. He starts with the truth. Like this, didn't God say, you're the Son of Man? That's the easy part, because then what he does is he leads us astray. The thing is when we hear the truth, we think that the person or the voice or whoever we're talking about, we can trust them, because they told us an element of truth. And then what happens is things start going a little bit off to the side, and then potentially we've sinned. Now we've got the shackles back on. Those shackles, those chains of sin, they're back on us. We have to hold everything voices tell us to a standard. And what is that standard? We've got to have a way to point true north. We've got to have something to say, is what these voices telling me truth? This is the standard. This book doesn't lie. This is a book of truth. It's a book of truths. And it's how Jesus handled these situations. For instance, Satan said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones, command that these stones become bread. You know what Jesus said? He's got this thing handled. We have it handled too. What he said was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we handle the voices. By what God tells us. You don't know where these voices are coming from. You don't know where they're taking you. But you do know where God's word is coming from, and you do know where he's taking you. The second one, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Okay? If you believe in this, throw yourself down. And what Jesus said, it is written that you don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't tempt him. Don't test him with something like this. Although there is one thing in the Bible that God said, try me. There's only one thing and one thing only. And what it is, when God said, try to outgive me. That's the only thing in the Bible he said, try to do that. It is written, man, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the thing is, what Jesus did was he used the Bible. He used the sword of truth against Satan when he came to him. And what are you going to do when he comes to you? So there's one more thing that happened. All these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. What do you think Jesus said? First off, he said, away with you. And one of the things that the Bible says is that you can do what Jesus did even more. Jesus just sent Satan away. He goes, away with you, because after he told him this, Satan left. He knew he didn't have a chance. He said, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Not drugs, not alcoholism, not cancer, not any other kind of disease or problem that we have. Don't serve those. That is not your Lord. You only have one God. The evil one wants nothing more than to take us down a path of no return, or one that he thinks there's no return, or he wants us to think that there's a path of no return. But you have to remember, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. But the thing is that Satan doesn't want you to know that. And once you sin, he's like, gotcha. Right, you got the shackles on. It's like, no, we're going to break these chains through the blood of Jesus. That happens. He forgives us. God knows we're going to sin. Now, don't go out and sin, because that doesn't give us the right to sin. It's just God knows that we're imperfect. We have to watch for that fowler's snare when we're hearing these things in our voice. Traps that are set for you to fail. It's those little things that go on that can turn into monstrous, terrible, life-changing things that seem so innocuous when they start. And there's one of the things that I read in one of the books. A lot of times I read about spiritual warfare, and one of the things that they talk about is they talk about first movement. And I wrote a pamphlet on it, and it's over there just on the other side of John. What are you going to do when that first thing happens? When that first time you hear that voice in your head, what's the first movement you make? Because that will determine how big your fight is. Because what I've seen people do, what I do a lot of times, is I start entertaining the fight. I start entertaining the thought. Jesus said, "It is written." He took care of him right away. Not, you know what? Let me think about these stones. I'm kind of hungry. Now he's entertaining the thought of changing the stones into bread. I'm really kind of hungry. Man, my stomach is growling. Maybe I ought to do something about this. He didn't. His first movement was to quote God's word. He didn't let it go on. He didn't let it become a life-changing experience. I had a conversation with a friend of mine earlier this week. He talked to me about how do you know when it's God and when it's not? And that's the hard part. Knowing when it's actually God speaking to us. First off, God is not obnoxious. These voices are. They are obnoxious. They come from all different directions. They get loud. They start overtaking your life, and that's not what God does. God is persistent, yes, but he's not obnoxious. What I found is hearing God's voice comes down to four things. Faith. Believing the Bible is the true word of God. Believing that God is in control. And believing that he gave his one and only begotten Son to die for us for our sins. Those are the first four things that we need to have. And faith. Faith is believing the unseen as if it was seen in front of us. And everything after that of these four things are all unseen. But we've got to believe in those things, because when we believe in those things and when we spend time with God and when we spend time in God's Word, it's easier to hear. And it's easier for God to overcome those voices to keep us on the right track. Those beliefs make life so much easier. But I've also seen people say one thing and believe another. I've seen people say, "Oh yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe God is in control, but I'm going to take control of this." Now, which is it? Are you in control, or is God in control? Because so many people, I see them grab a hold of something, and what they do is they strangle it, even though they believe, or they're believers, they strangle it. You see, when Jesus was tempted, he put 100% of his faith into this book. 100%, irrevocable. And look at what happened. Look at what the outcome was. Satan left him. And he was still Jesus. He still did what he came here to do, because his first movement was to put his faith in this book. And it doesn't matter what version you have, because I've seen people have that discussion also. The point is that you have that book in front of you. The other thing that Jesus knew was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guys, this is God. When you're reading, that is God in the Bible. He knew the true Word of God as written. That's how he got out of that predicament with the devil. I don't know what would have happened if he would have gone down the road with them. I know, I dropped my pen. Mm-hmm. Or this. Oh, it was actually this. Maybe I'm supposed to read that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things and endures all things. So now that we have these four things down, that's the spiritual side of things. Yet those voices are still talking to us. We've got these things going on, but we've still got those voices talking to us. And the reason is because we have to take physical action. We have to actually do something. Because sometimes God wants to see how much faith do you have. You can talk the talk, or are you willing to walk the walk? So what do? First thing we do is we have to pray. We have to pray about what we're being told and ask God to reveal to us why we're being told those things. What are these voices that we're hearing, God? What do you want me to do with these voices? Ask why you're being told that you're not good enough. When the Bible tells us we can do anything that Jesus did. That we can do anything through Christ. If we can do anything that Jesus did, what makes us think we can't fix a car, paint a wall, or help a friend in need? I'll tell you what makes us think those things is those voices raging in our head. But God is not a raging voice. He's that still, small voice. That's small voice that we have to listen for. That comforting voice that gives us peace. Albeit sometimes persistent, but that raging voice in our head rages and hopes that we don't hear that still small voice. The next action we have to take is by prayer and patience. We have to ask what it is that He wants us to do. What is this thing we're hearing, hearing that's actually His word, or is it something else that we're not supposed to have anything to do with? Patience comes in sometimes by waiting on the word of God, or for the word of God, sometimes not. You may not get your answer directly from God, but through reading your Bible, circumstance in the church, sometimes answers happen right away, but you have to be ready for the answer. Other times it takes a while for the answer, but we have to be patient. God is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. In Henry Blackaby's book, Experiencing God, he poses the question, So what do we do when we're waiting for God's direction? You know those times, it feels like you're in the forest, it feels like you're in the desert, just waiting. God, what do you want me to do? Henry says when we're waiting for new direction, for additional guidance, we need to keep doing the last thing that God told us to do until He tells us to do something different. Sometimes people stop doing God's work. And they said, I'm just going to wait around. I'm done doing God's work. I'll just kind of hang out. And that's what the Israelites were going to do. They were just going to hang out. The end of the world's coming. We'll just kind of chill. And Paul said, you can't do that. You've got to keep working. One last thing that I want to share with you. It's one of the things that I use, one of my first lines of defense, when voices are telling me to go one way or the other. It gets confusing sometimes. The answer is in Galatians. I shared this with a conversation with my friend. My litmus is the fruits of the Spirit. The first thing is if any of these voices do not fit into one of these fruits of the Spirit, chances are it's not from God. This is what God wants us to have. Joy, love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If those voices are telling us to do anything other than one of these, I take a really close look at it. And guys, believe me, I know how loud these voices can be. And I know how convincing they can be. It's just kind of this pattern that goes on. And what's going to be your first movement? What's going to be the first thing that you do? So when you hear things, see if they fit into one of these things. If not, take a closer look at it. This week, first thing is declare your independence. Ain't going to be nothing. Ain't nothing going to steal my
joy.
Number two, because you all have love. I've got the little bit too much love. Okay, now I just planned a song. Okay, that's number one. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy, but that's up to you. Make that declaration. Nothing's going to steal these things from you. Don't let the voices take you down a path you shouldn't be on. When you hear the voices, cross-check them with other things. Cross-check them with God's Word. Pray and wait for the answer. The answer will come, and it'll come through prayer, the Bible, circumstances, or the church. You just have to be ready for it. Sometimes it comes right away. Sometimes it takes a while. Okay, if you would, pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping us understand your word today. You know what you meant when you wrote it. Thank you for helping us understand what you mean as we study your word. Watch over those who are sick. Make them well. As always, your will be done. Thank you for blessing this ministry on 8th Avenue. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
If you haven't given your life to the Lord, we want to take a minute. We want you to take a minute or two to think about that. Jesus knocks at all of our doors, and he's waiting for you to open the door to come into his life. If now is the time, just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. We believe if you've said that simple prayer, you've been saved. Connect with a Bible-based church. Keep coming back right here. And if you're online, meet us here again next week. Okay, so everyone in here is a survivor, and that's going to be our next song.